Hey, this is Stephen Bruce from Seymour Christian Church. I want to thank you for listening to the message today. As we open up the scriptures, I pray that God speaks to you and that the Holy Spirit will use it to help you on your journey to become more like Jesus. Thanks for listening.
It was just another summer concert. Tens of thousands of people packed into the stadium. The lights were flashing, the air was electric, the music was amazing. They came to sing the songs that they knew so well. They just needed to get away for a little bit, all to themselves. They told themselves, let's just get lost in this sea of people. Let's get lost in this moment, get lost in each other. They were holding each other, exhilarated. It was such an amazing night. The stars were out. It was romantic. They never felt more alive. They were in the moment. It was magical until it wasn't. The camera pans to them, and then it got complicated. It took a moment, but they realized their image was in front of thousands, go on to be millions. It took them a moment to realize what was happening, but when they did, they panicked. They hid. But it was too late. The guy on the stage said, oh, they must be having an affair. He was just joking, of course, but it wasn't funny because they weren't married, at least not to each other. And suddenly what felt like a private moment was a very public scandal. What started out as a fun night between two lovers lost in the sea of people ended up ruining families. Lives. Andy Byron and his coworker, Kristen, didn't expect to go out that evening and ruin their lives. But no one ever plans to, right? For those of you who might not have heard, this past week, a story went viral across the nation. It became quickly the butt of jokes on TV and late night talk show hosts. Social media memed them all over the internet. As these two very real people got caught. And I understand that there are very real people involved. And I don't share this story to sensationalize the situation. I don't know all the facts, but it quickly became known across America that these two people had cheated. And there are real people involved, real families. It's a tragedy on so many levels. And while I have no insight to the heart of Andy Byron, what he was thinking in that moment, why he went out in public with his mistress, I can safely say this, that he never intended to get caught. And he never intended for any of this to happen. No one ever does. But sin, it always overpromises and underdelivers. And over the past few weeks, we've been looking at the book of Proverbs. It's a compilation of advice, of principles, passed on as a way to encourage a young son, a young man, to live a life of wisdom, to learn, as we saw last week, to be an expert at life. And we've seen how wisdom is personified as two women, Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly. And last week, we saw that Lady Wisdom, she cries out to us in the streets, trying to get our attention. Helping us to make wise decisions. But all those wise decisions begin with the fear of the Lord, with the recognition that he is the author, that he's in charge, that he gets to call the shots, that he's the director of our lives. And in the first 9 chapters of Proverbs, we find words from a father to his sons about the importance of listening to this amazing woman, Lady Wisdom, listening to the right voice. But we also hear the dangers of listening to the wrong voice, to Lady Folly. And here in chapter 7, which is where we're going to be today, we get a story. The story kind of like what happened at that Coldplay concert this week. It's a fictitious story, though, told by a father to his son about the lure of seduction, the dangers of listening to Lady Folly. And while our situation might not end up on a stadium screen in front of millions, Every single one of us knows what it's like to face temptation, to get caught in the trap of seduction. See, temptations come in all different forms. For some of us, it's exactly what we're going to see in this passage here, lust. But for others, it's greed or addiction or the desperate need for approval or control. See, seduction is more than just sexual. But make no mistake, it is sexual. I want to just issue a disclaimer this morning. As we jump into the words here in Proverbs in chapter 7, it's rated PG. Right? Nothing inappropriate necessarily, but I just want to warn us that we're talking about real things that really happen, as we saw this past week on television. I want to say something important, though, as we dive into this. We talked about this a little bit last week. These two personas, Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly, that isn't supposed to make us just think that this is a woman issue, right? And the seduction that we're going to see pass here in this passage in chapter 7 isn't just a man issue. The roles in this story, we're going to see this son or this father telling his son a story, could just as easily have been reversed had he been talking to one of his daughters. Because those roles are often reversed. But chapter 7 is a father speaking to his son, which is why this story takes on this shape and why the seductress in this passage is Lady Folly. But temptation, even sexual temptation, is no respecter of genders. So while this isn't just a warning about the dangers of sexual lust, don't tune it out if you're one of those people that says, I don't struggle with this. Proverbs 7 has a lesson for all of us on the power of seduction. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, so if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. All of us, no matter what our vice might be, no matter what the seduction might be in our life, all of us face temptation. Proverbs 7 is more than just a story about a woman being seduced by a man. It's a cautionary tale for all of us. And it's not just about sex, it's about temptation. It's about desire. It's about the choices that we make when we think no one is looking, and how foolishness can often dress up to look wise. Now, last week we said that wisdom is doing the right thing at the right time, in the right way, for the right reason. And this week, we're going to see that not following wisdom is exactly the opposite. The wrong thing at the wrong time, in the wrong way, for the wrong reason. Before we dive in, let's pray together this morning. God, as we spend a few minutes looking at this story from a father to a son, I ask that all of us would open our hearts to hear from you. That, Lord, we would see ourselves in this story. Because all of us, no matter what situation we find ourselves in, have found ourselves being tempted by Lady Folly. Whatever the situation might be, Lord, we all have to walk the other way. And so I ask this morning that even as we talk about things that might make us uncomfortable, that we would recognize that this is in the Bible for a reason, that this father is telling this son this story for a reason, because you, Lord, want us to follow Lady Wisdom. Lord, be with us in our time here together. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, if you've got your Bibles, open up to Proverbs chapter 7. Over the last few chapters, this father has been consistently telling his son, listen to Lady Folly, don't listen to Lady Wisdom. And as we saw last week, the grounding for this starts with the fear of the Lord, believing that God is in charge, not being afraid of God, but this awe and reverence of his power, of him being in control, of us not trying to drive our own ships, drive our own lives. And he gives this advice over and over again in all sorts of different situations about how to deal with relationships and how to deal with your money. And in this situation, over and over again, he talks about how he should deal with his desires. The things that drive this man. How do I deal with these in ways that are wise? And he gives us the same advice he's been giving us over and over again in these chapters as chapter 7 starts off. He says this, follow my advice, my son. Always treasure my commands. We talked last week about hiding the word in your heart, of making the commands of God, the principles that God lays out for us, part of who we are, not just things that we listen to, but that we obey. He says, obey my commands and live. Guard my instructions as you would guard your own eyes. Tie them on your fingers as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. He wants us to sink in, to not just be words that he reads on a page or things that he might say in prayers before he goes to bed, but they would be part of who he is. Love wisdom like a sister, he says. Make insight a beloved member of your family. Let them protect you from an affair with an immoral woman, from listening to the flattery of a promiscuous woman. And then the father, he tells a story. Now, the facts of this story are probably made up, but the story is true. It happens every day to each one of us, in our homes, in our offices, while we're driving on the road, while we're scrolling our phones. He tells this story in verse 6. He says, while I was at the window of my house, looking through the curtain, I saw some naive young men, and one in particular who lacked common sense. He was crossing the street near the house of an immoral woman, strolling down the path by her house. It was at twilight in the evening as deep darkness fell. The storyteller, he sees this situation playing out outside his door and immediately knows this guy's in trouble. Verse 7, he says he's naive. We looked at that word last week. It's the Hebrew word pete, and it means simple. And so many of us fall into this category, don't we? We're just naive. We're not paying attention to what's happening around us. We're going about our lives living without paying attention to Lady Wisdom. In verse 8, it says he was crossing the street near the house. He was walking in places that he shouldn't have been. Now, the Hebrew word here for this word walked is asad, and it means to move towards. This isn't like he just happens to be out on this road at this time. He's moving intentionally. He's not just wandering around the town. He's someplace he's not supposed to be. He's not lost. He was headed somewhere. He didn't accidentally stumble on this road. It was intentional. He chose a direction. Now, he might not have planned for the events to unfold the way that they end up doing in this story, but make no mistake, it was no accident. Verse 9, the storyteller tells us when this happened, in the darkness, in night, when no one would see. Like that couple in a sea of people just thinking no one will ever know. Verse 10 says, the woman approached him, seductively dressed and sly of heart. She was the brash, rebellious type, never content to stay at home. She's often in the streets and markets, soliciting at every corner. Here, this naive, simple, lacking common sense young man sees this woman. We'll call her Lady Folly. We're told she's dressed to kill. Your translation might actually say she's dressed like a prostitute. But the temptation isn't just in how she's dressed. Verse 10 tells us about her motivation. It says, with crafty intent. You know what I noticed about the description of this woman? Not so much that she was dressed as a prostitute, not that she even acted this certain way, that she was boisterous and outgoing, it says, but what sticks out is her intent. Sly of heart, some translations say it. Cunning of heart, crafty of intent. The point isn't so much her appearance as it is her intentions. Now, I know that the overall theme of this, we already know what the takeaway is, don't follow Lady Folly, right? But there's another lesson for us here. Don't be Lady Folly. I just want to say quickly a word about modesty, about the way that we dress, not to condemn us, but to help us see what's happening in this moment. See, modesty isn't just about what we wear, but why you wear it. It's not about rules or a certain hemline. It's about your heart. Paul writes in 1 Timothy 2:9 that women and men, by principle, should dress modestly with decency and propriety, not to draw undue attention to themselves, the scripture tells us. And the issue isn't about being fashionable. It's about your intention. Whether you're a man or woman, the question here is this. Are you trying to honor God or are you trying to get noticed? And this woman, Lady Folly, she set out with the intent of getting noticed. So let's be clear. This isn't a message about shaming women or explaining away and excusing men for their behavior. It's a warning for all of us. Yes, don't follow Lady Folly, but don't be Lady Folly either. All right, verse 13 says, she threw her arms around him and kissed him. And with a brazen look, she said, I've just made my peace offerings and fulfilled my vows. You're the one I was looking for. I came out to find you, and here you are. Now, this idea of peace offerings, this was something they would do in that culture. It was a religious act. And so really, in a lot of ways, what this woman is saying is, I'm not so bad, right? We might say, well, I go to church. This guy lets his guard down. And there's something else that happens here, too. When they make their peace offerings, they would have meat that they would bring home. And the rule that time, the law say they had to finish that meat by sundown. And so she's also saying, I've got food. I've got food, and I mean, I've done the things I'm supposed to, and I was looking for you. I came out looking for you. So he's thinking maybe she's not all that bad. She's safe, and she really likes me. Lady Folly was personal and targeted him, told him what we wanted to hear. Isn't that the way that temptation works? It doesn't tell us the things we don't want to hear. It tells us the things that we want to hear. She goes on, my bed is spread with beautiful blankets, with colored sheets of Egyptian linen. I've perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let's drink our fill of love until morning. Let's enjoy each other's caresses. Now, this is getting kind of graphic. And yes, should you be wondering, what you think is happening. This isn't one of those things where the Bible says something, but it means something else. This means exactly what you think it means. The phrase that she actually uses here in the Hebrew is the Hebrew word for making love. And that's the phrase that we use sometimes today too, isn't it? But that's a lie. Because that isn't love. It's lust. Pastor Chris Brown said this. He said, making love is satisfying your partner for the next 60 years, not having 60 different partners. See, making love outside of marriage is actually a lie. It's a lie that we've been sold and told. Because the Bible is very clear. Sex is a gift from God. But it was never intended to be used outside the safety and the covenant of marriage. Hebrews 13:4 says, marriage should be honored by all and the marriage bed kept pure. God's design is for one man and one woman in the context of a lifetime commitment. And when we step outside of that design, no matter how normal or how accepted it might seem in our culture, we're listening to Lady Folly. We step outside of God's best for us. This isn't about casting judgment. It's about wisdom. It's about the fear of the Lord. It's about honoring the one who makes it, who makes us wise, who brings us joy. And while the concept of sex in the context of marriage might be out of fashion today, that doesn't make it any less true, no matter what the lies are that we've been told. And make no mistake, that's what this Lady Folly is doing. She's lying. She might even be deceiving herself, as sometimes we do, but she's lying. And she goes on with her lies. She says, for my husband is not home. He's away on a long trip. He's taken a wallet full of money with him and won't return until later this month. Now, seduction is good at this. While it's true her husband is gone, and won't be back for a month. What she's really saying is this: there won't be any consequences. Maybe she's picking up a little hesitation on this guy's point, right? He's interested, but she's offering sounds good, food, desires, pleasure. But maybe he's thinking, well, what if we get caught? And she anticipates that. She says, we won't get caught. No one has to know. No consequences. No regrets. And this has been seduction's tactic since the beginning. The offer of sin with no consequences originated in the garden. As Satan tempted Adam and Eve, he said, no one will know. There will be no consequences. What happens in Vegas, it doesn't stay in Vegas. Now, it might not be projected in a jumbotron at a stadium and memed across the world, but there are always consequences for our sin. And this is often seduction's, temptation's last pitch, whether it's sexual or not. Lady Folly tells us what we want to hear, flatters us. Come on, it's safe, she says. Or you deserve this. It's just one time. Or we're in love. Or everyone else does it. Whatever it might be to get our attention. Lady Folly tells us what she wants us, or what we want to hear, but it's all lies. See, temptation often hides behind things that feel good or seem safe. Temptation often hides behind things that feel good or seem safe, or maybe even seem spiritual. I mean, this is a woman, she's fulfilling the law, she's kind of following the rules, but it's all lies. Because sin always oversells and underdelivers. It's a bait and switch. Seduction, especially of the sexual nature, promises us the real thing, but it's actually just a knockoff. It's like the Temu of pleasure. Are you familiar with Temu? It's this company that sells all sorts of stuff that looks like designer products, but it's all fake. And most of it's gonna break, and a lot of it's toxic. Lady Folly, she looks good, but it's more than just the way she looks. It's more than just about the things that she's doing. She says, you're the one that I've been looking for. She appeals to the two main areas that humans fall for, our desires and our need to feel special, to be noticed. That really is what drives all of our sin. Not just sexual temptation. All of it is driven by this wanting to fill whatever desire we might think we deserve at that moment. Or feeling loved and accepted by those around us. The temptation often hides behind things that feel good or seem safe. The father goes on in verse 21. So she seduced him with her pretty speech and enticed him with her flattery. He followed her at once. Now, that doesn't mean that this decision happened quickly, without any thought. It means that he jumped into the decision, headlong into it. I mean, he had plenty of opportunities to turn away. But sin wants us to linger. When you linger, you lose. The longer you stand around with temptation, the easier it is to go home with her. When we start trying to reason with temptation, most likely you're going to get caught in the trap. There's a story in Genesis 39 about a man named Joseph. You might be familiar with this. He was in charge of a powerful man's household. His name was Potiphar. And Joseph was a good-looking guy, and we're told that Potiphar's wife had the hots for Joseph. And time again, she would try to seduce him. We're told in the story, when Potiphar's wife came onto Joseph, it says he immediately ran away. Joseph didn't try to negotiate with Potiphar's wife. He ran away. Because see, we don't manage temptation. That's where so many of us get stuck. We try to talk it out with temptation. But we don't manage temptation, we run away. This applies to all temptations, but especially to sexual temptation. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18 says, run away from sexual sin. No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. Don't you realize that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? Remember last week we saw that's where wisdom is, in us. It should be in us. You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body. So whether it's an inappropriate relationship, or maybe it's something else, gossiping with people you're trying to impress, sitting at the bar when you know that's a temptation for you, hanging around the gym hoping to see her, standing in the ice cream aisle, or scrolling on your phone, the time to flee is before it feels irresistible. The time to flee from sin is before it feels irresistible, because it will feel irresistible. That's what seduction does. It's not irresistible, but it feels that way. No matter what Robert Palmer said in the song, it's not simply irresistible. There were plenty of opportunities for this young man to walk the other way, to change course. But he wanted to tell a different story. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, the temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you're tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. The father goes on. He says, he followed her once like an ox going to the slaughter. He was like a stag caught in a trap, awaiting the arrow that would pierce his heart. He was like a flying bird into a snare, little knowing it would cost him his life. Love the imagery here. This dad is trying to explain to his son, he's dead. Like an ox just being led to the slaughter, not even knowing what's about to happen. And the guy in this story, I promise you, he didn't set out on that road going by Lady Folly's house hoping to die. I doubt that couple at the Coldplay concert intended to get caught on national television either. But this man's fate is sealed because he gave in to temptation. There's a famous quote, sin will take you farther than you want to go and keep you longer than you wanted to stay and cost you more than you want to pay. The irony is this was told by a pastor who eventually it came out had been abusive to women, had obviously listened to Lady Folly's voice. I don't mean he was seduced by a woman. I mean he listened to Lady Folly. He made a choice. He took steps to go the wrong direction, but sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you wanted to stay, and cost you more than you wanted to pay. Jesus' own brother, James, said this in James chapter 1:14. He said, temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. Sin, following Lady Folly, leads to destruction. But that young man in this story, he didn't die the moment that he entered her house. He died long before that. Because sin doesn't start with a fall, it starts with a step. One step in the wrong direction. He started walking to his death the moment that he set out that evening, walking the wrong path. The wrong thing at the wrong time, in the wrong way, for the wrong reason. So let me ask you, which direction are your steps taking you today? Because the path that you choose determines the story that you'll tell tomorrow, or the story that's told about you. Maybe you're like that naive young man thinking it's just a movie. It's just a fantasy. She's just a friend. He's just a guy who makes me feel wanted or cared for. But in that moment, he took a step and walked to his death. But that moment was built on so many steps before in the wrong direction. Because sin doesn't start with a fall, it starts with a step. So are you walking near the edge of compromise, telling yourself it's harmless, that you've got it under control, that it's safe? Are you listening to Lady Folly's lies? No one will get hurt. No one has to know. I know I said I'd quit drinking, but it's been a hard week, so I deserve this. I'm not being greedy. I'm trying to be smart with my money. I'm not addicted. I could stop anytime if I wanted to. We're in love, and we're going to get married anyways. I know I shouldn't eat all this, but it's the only thing that makes me feel better. I know I shouldn't be texting them, but it's not like we're doing anything physical. The lies that we tell ourselves, the steps that we take walking towards destruction. This father ends in verse 24 a lot the way he started. He says, so listen to me, my son, and pay attention to my words. Don't let your hearts stray away towards her. Don't wander down her wayward path. For she has been the ruin of many. Many men have been her victims. Her house is the road to the grave. Her bedroom is the den of death. He says, pay attention to what I'm telling you again. Hide it in your heart. Don't just listen to the words. Obey them. Now, I'm not telling you in this, and Solomon talking to his sons aren't telling you either what to wear or what to watch or what to read or who to date. But I can give you some advice. Solomon's giving you some advice here. But the better question to ask isn't how far is too far or how fast is too fast or how short is too short or how much is too much. The question to ask is the same question that we looked at last week. What's the wisest action to take in this situation for a person who fears the Lord? If that's the question that we ask, not will I get caught, not do I deserve this, not is it okay, but what's the wisest action to take in this situation for a person who fears the Lord? That question, answering it that way, you will never make the wrong choice. See, the truth is, this isn't just a story about sex, and it's not just about a woman on the street and a man without sense. It's a story about the direction that we choose, about the path that we're walking, about the voice that we're listening to. Because the steps you take today determine the story that you'll tell tomorrow. Now, if you remember, this whole chapter, the last few chapters, are a father speaking to his son, but not just any father. Scholars think this is most likely Solomon, King Solomon, a man who knew firsthand the story of how seduction can destroy a life. His own father, King David, took a step that he thought no one would notice. A glance turned into lust. Lust turned into adultery. Adultery turned into a cover-up. The cover-up led to a murder, and it tore the family apart. Solomon wasn't speaking in a hypotheticals. He saw what happens when you walk too close to the edge, when you take a step in the wrong direction. Solomon actually wasn't even supposed to be king. I don't know if we knew that or not. He had a couple brothers ahead of him. Two in particular, Amnon and Absalom, both fell because they gave in to seduction. Solomon knew that the destruction of temptation personally. But sometimes that one step can change our story. That Coldplay couple, from now on, whenever anybody hears the name Andy Byron or the Coldplay couple, that's the story that they'll remember. Not that this guy was a successful businessman, not the leadership or the way he built a company, but one step, one direction listening to Lady Folly, that now defines his story. But here's the good news. That doesn't have to be the end of the story. And it doesn't have to be the end of yours either. Now, sin always overpromises and underdelivers, but Jesus came to give you something different. Jesus says in John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But wisdom, as we saw last week, is now come in a person, in Jesus, and he makes us another promise. I came that they may have life and have it to the full. No matter what Lady Folly has promised us, Jesus promises us better. The next chapter, Proverbs 8, goes on to tell us that Lady Wisdom is calling out again to this man. She invites him to her table. She offers understanding and security, joy and peace and love. Wisdom offers all the things that folly promises but can't deliver. And wisdom came in the person of Jesus. He's not here to shame us or to call us out, but here to save us. And he doesn't just call us away from Lady Folly's house. He calls us to his own. See, temptation often hides behind things that look good or seem safe. The time to flee is before it feels irresistible. Sin doesn't start with a fall. It starts with a step. The steps you take today determine the story you'll tell tomorrow. Because sin always overpromises and underdelivers. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for this story told from a father to a son that paints a vivid picture for us that all of us, if we really were truthful with ourselves, have been a part of. That we've all faced temptations. And sometimes, Lord, we've made the right choice and taken this step to walk away from Lady Folly's house. And other times, Lord, we've just continued to take steps closer and closer to justify our actions, to give in to the seduction of Lady Folly. But Lord, I pray for all of us, no matter what we're facing, whether it's sexual temptation, pornography, or just looking at things we shouldn't look at, talking to people we shouldn't, whether it's consuming things, Lord, that we know are destroying us and our relationship with you, whether it's talking not just to say words, but to try to lure someone in or to make us feel better about ourselves at the expense of others. Whatever the temptation is, Lord, I ask that we would make the step the right direction towards Lady Wisdom. God, we thank you for providing, always providing a way out. And help us, Lord, to listen to the voice of Lady Wisdom. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church together said, amen.